Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Hello, my students, and welcome to The James Rice Show. I am the author and series creator of the Study It ESL textbooks, available on iBooks, or Books, as Apple calls it. And it is always fantastic to be with you this week. You can subscribe to my show on Apple Podcasts. Many of you guys are doing that. Or the Android Stitcher podcast app. That's nice, too. Yeah, just search for The James Rice Show. Don't forget the, and you'll find the show. And our full episodes are released every Monday. And I'm based here in Toronto, Canada. And I'm here with my amazing producer, Stephanie, behind the glass. Stephanie, give us a big wave. Yeah, we are broadcasting in over 60 countries now. Yeah. Any new countries there, Stephanie, our producer? Nigeria. Really? They are new? I thought they were listening already. I'm surprised. Yeah. Stephanie, how many countries exactly are we reaching here on the James Rice Show? Give me an exact number, because we're always saying over 60 countries. Stephanie's counting now. This is important stuff, guys. This is important stuff on the James Rice Show. How many, Stephanie? 67. 67. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. You know, when I look at our map of all the listeners, there are two countries that kind of stand out that no one is listening to the James Rice Show on. And that is Greenland. Greenland. I mean, Greenland is such a big country there. It's above Canada. And there are no listeners from Greenland. Why not? Does nobody study ESL up there in Greenland? Come on. There's got to be somebody out there. Reach out to your friends in Greenland and tell them about the James Rice Show. The other country that really stands out when I look at my map where there are no listeners to the James Rice Show is North Korea. Yeah, North Korea. We have a wide coverage all through Asia. Many Asian students are great listeners to the James Rice Show, but there's this like one black dot in the middle of Asia on my map, and that's North Korea. You know, it's like that NASA photo of South Korea versus North Korea from space. Have you seen that? Where South Korea is all lights and North Korea is all darkness. That's what my map looks like when I see the coverage of our show. All Asia is covered except one big black dot, North Korea. So, all right, we got to start today with some big news. Yeah, Stephanie, hit the big news music. So we have hit 10,000 listeners. Yeah, wow. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the James Rice Show. It was our goal to get 10,000 listeners, and actually was my goal kind of for the year. So here we are in August, 8 months into the show. The show's only 8 months old. You know, it feels like it's been going on forever, right? But it's only 8 months old, and we've hit 10,000 listeners worldwide and 67 countries. That's amazing. And thank you guys for listening and tuning in each week. And we really try to put in some effort here and some thought to give you some good content to listen to about studying abroad, about international student news and teacher ideas for your classrooms, and some general news that maybe is just fun as well. So thank you so much for your support for the James Rice Show. And all right, this week, let's do some quick news coverage here for you guys, travelers, you international student travelers out there. There are some new visa regulations for America, for the United States. So, students, if you overstay your visa in America, you can face between 2 and 10 years being banned. So the U.S. will ban you from entering their country for between 2 and 10 years, depending on how long you overstay your visa. So keep that visa up to date. These are some of the new, obviously, the new immigration policies coming through the U.S., getting a little more strict there for international students. Also, marijuana. Marijuana is about to be legal in Canada. October 17th is the date, apparently. And now the Japanese embassy released a memo to Japanese travelers this week, and they stated that it is illegal for Japanese students to try marijuana in Canada because marijuana is illegal in Japan. Now, the message was very general, kind of cryptic, and, you know, I was working through a translation, so not 100% sure what the government means. So if there are any Japanese students out there listening, maybe you guys can give me a better translation than what Google Translate gave me, or a better explanation about what the government is talking about. So it seems a little bit strange that if you are in Canada, you cannot try marijuana if you're Japanese. That was kind of the message, because it's illegal in Japan. But you're in Canada, so it's not illegal. Now, when I traveled to Amsterdam, I went into one of the marijuana shops, and they would not sell me any marijuana because I only had a foreign passport. So in Amsterdam, they would not sell marijuana to foreigners. So perhaps that's what Japan is talking about, because the regulations here are still a little strange, and we're still trying to learn all the laws here in Canada, what the laws will be in Canada for the new access to marijuana. Now, also, you know, you guys are thinking, what? Wait, James just said he smokes marijuana. Okay, no, I did not say I smoke marijuana. I do not partake in this activity. I am not a marijuana user. For those that know me, you guys know I like my rum. That is an alcohol, my rum in all its beautiful forms. But, you know, when I was in Amsterdam, I was curious to see what the rules were. So I went into the shop and I talked to the shop owners, and I was asking them about the rules. And they told me that in Amsterdam, they could not sell marijuana to foreigners because, well, basically, foreigners couldn't handle the marijuana. They were jumping out of their hotel rooms into the river in Amsterdam. They were being loud, noisy, crazy, and just, you know, generally out of control. So I wonder if the new laws in Canada will be like this. You know, foreign travelers to Canada will not be allowed to purchase it. So if your embassy is talking about Canada in this way, please let me know. I'm curious to see what your embassies are saying out there about Canada. Now, you know, sometimes I think Canada has not really thought through a lot of these problems as they're racing towards legalizing marijuana. This is, you know, my one concern. I mean, October 17th, it's only a couple of months away. But I did read that there is going to be an expected 150,000 new jobs being created by the cannabis industry. And cannabis means marijuana. And a lot of new college programs and university programs are starting up. Yeah. So you could get a marijuana education in Canada. Yeah, not how to smoke it, but how to buy it, sell it, package it, There's even law courses, and they're getting the colleges and universities are gearing up and starting this type of program. So later, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about these college programs that you can take and considering when you're coming to Canada. It is going to be a huge, huge industry. So you got to stay tuned for that. Also, coming up, we will have the idiom of the week, and we're going to discuss an article that states parents should not buy a mobile phone for their children before high school. Yeah. So I will be discussing this in our Teacher Talk segment. And you may be surprised by my feelings on this, some of you regular listeners out there. All right. Top five countries this week. Stephanie, top five countries. Number one, the listener to the James Rice Show still is the U.S. of A. They remain number one. Mexico jumped up to number two. Of course, we had a couple of shows about Mexico. So thank you, Mexicanas, for tuning in. Brazil is in at number three. Our regular listeners from Brazil. Obrigada. Canada, number four. And Saudi Arabia jumped into the fifth spot last week for the first time appearing on the James Rice Show. Of course, we talked a lot about the 14,000 Saudi students transferring out of Canada over the diplomatic spat. That means there was a fight, you know, a small fight that turned into a big fight between Canada and the Saudi government. And it's too bad that this has happened. And you guys can listen to that show last week. That was on the last week's episodes. So check that out to see what's going on there. All right. And of course, don't forget to check out www.thejamesriceshow.com and our Facebook page, James Rice Show. The website has information from this episode. You're going to see the articles and some of the things that I've talked about. You can click on those and check out the information there. And on the Facebook page, of course, we've got free English lessons. So if you guys are wanting to practice your English, we've got some of my old videos. They are a little bit old, I do admit it. They're not the newest things out there. But you can see me teaching in action and maybe pick up some good English advice for you. All right, coming up next, Idiom of the Week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
We usually talk about social idioms and social expressions in the Idiom of the Week segment. Today, however, I wanted to introduce you to five important business idioms. Yeah, we don't just use idioms in everyday conversation, but also business conversation. Idioms, you know, are quite common in business, especially sports idioms. Yeah, there are a lot of sports idioms that are used in business conversations. And we'll save those for another day. We won't do those ones. But here are the top five most important business idioms you need to learn. All right, number one, the bottom line. The bottom line. Now, this is a very common business expression, which means the final outcome, the most important point in business. It actually comes from business financial statements. The bottom line on a financial statement shows if you made a profit or not, if you made money. Yeah? I mean, that's why you're in business, right? So that is really important. So the idiom, the bottom line, is something that is very, very important. So if you hear your boss say, the bottom line, that means something very, very important. So in a sentence, we might say the bottom line is that we must finish the project by 9 p.m. Or the bottom line is we must fly to Tokyo. All right. So when he's using that expression, or she, because it could be a female boss. All right. It could be that this is something very, very important. All right. Number two, call it a day. Call it a day. So when your day is over, you know, it's 5 p.m. and you're finished work, or if, like, you're in Japan, it's like midnight when you finish your work, or in Korea or China. Then you could say, well, I'm going to call it a day. I'm going to call it a day. And that means, you know, I'm finished. Whew. Work is over. Hopefully, you are very tired from your work. Number three, back to square one, or back to the drawing board, all right? Back to square one, or back to the drawing board. These two idioms are very similar, and they simply mean it's time to go back to the beginning, to start over, do it again, because something is not right, something is not working. And actually, it's kind of a sad business idiom. Yeah, you know, if your boss says, well, James, it's back to square one, and you just like, OMG, oh my God. Well, that means you got to start all over again, back to square one. Number four, bring something to the table. Bring something to the table. That means to bring something of benefit to a job. It could be like a special skill. It could be some sort of experience. You're bringing something useful to the job. So in a sentence, we would say, Bob, we need someone who can bring a positive attitude to the table. Bring a positive attitude to the table. Or you could say, we need someone to bring accounting skills to the table. All right, so they bring some skill or experience to the table, to the job, to the company. All right, and the last one, number five, the 11th hour. The 11th hour. This idiom, this business idiom, means something that changes or something that is done at the very last possible minute. All right. I remember in my situation, I changed the name of my school at the 11th hour. Yeah, I did. It's true. We had created a logo. We had created kind of a marketing plan, but we didn't print it all out and put it out in the public yet. Then at the 11th hour, at the last moment, I changed the name of my school. True story. Yeah. We're going to talk about that one time. Yeah. It was a good name change. So the bottom line is that you need to study idioms every day if you want to bring your English skills to the table. And now I'm going to call it a day. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Now, Canada is a very popular destination for international students who want to study and perhaps immigrate to Canada, because if students who go to college, let's say, for example, a two-year or three-year college program, they can get a two-year or three-year work permit. And during that time that they're working in Canada, if they are with a company for 1 year, they can then apply to be a permanent resident and live in Canada forever. So there are, of course, a lot of jobs out there that are looking for skilled people, especially in the computer industry, IT business. There's a lot going on in that industry. But there's a new industry in Canada that is starting on October 17th, and that is the marijuana business, or as it's being called, the cannabis industry. Cannabis is another word for marijuana. And they're talking about 150,000 jobs in the cannabis industry being created over the next few years. So if you're looking for a career change and you want to make some money, because they're talking about, you know, some big, big salaries, up to six figures. I mean, $100,000. So it's a big, big industry. So if you want to go to college and you want to enter into the cannabis industry or the marijuana industry, I'm going to give you some of the new post-secondary cannabis school programs that are available. Now, first off, we have Niagara College. All right. Niagara College is offering the first ever full post-secondary diploma, teaching people who want to get involved in the production as well as the kind of sale of marijuana. So it's called the Commercial Cannabis Production Program. Now, you know, one of the great things about Niagara College and why they're doing it is that in Niagara, there are many cannabis farms out there, and near, of course, you know, that's where they make ice wine in Canada as well. It's a great place to kind of grow the stuff. So you can get a lot of, you know, industry knowledge in the Niagara region. So Niagara College has probably the first big program. I think it's a one-year program, and it's starting this year. It's a one-year post-grad program. So that is one that I would recommend you as well. Now, Durham College, it's also in Ontario, Canada. It has a medical cannabis fundamentals for business professionals. It's a kind of workshop program that's available, and it runs every few weeks. So you can, it's a little cheaper. It's only a few hundred dollars. It isn't a diploma or a certificate or anything, but it does kind of introduce you to the business, especially if you have some knowledge already. Perhaps you're a nurse or you're in the medical field. That would be a good starting place if you're curious about it. Now, out in Vancouver, Kwantlen Polytechnic has cannabis career training. It's actually an online cannabis career training, and they have these packages for 8 weeks, and they cost about $1,500, $1,500, and you learn about how to grow and produce marijuana, how to market it, sales, and financing as well. Now, I know some of you are going, hey, I know how to grow marijuana. Okay, guys, you guys got to get a piece of paper, okay, to say that you know how to do it legally. All right, another university that has a cannabis program is McGill University. Yeah, and they are putting together what's called a cannabis cultivation diploma program. All right. Now, it has not officially started at McGill, but apparently they're hoping to get it up and running for next year. Okay. And it's for people who have already graduated from university and want to get into this industry. So that is a really, that will be a great program. So if you've already got a university degree and you want to come to Canada, you may want to look into the Cannabis Cultivation Diploma Program at McGill University. New Brunswick Community College. New Brunswick Community College also has a medical cannabis program. And their courses are beginning, and the government, well, if you're in Ontario, the government, if you're in the New Brunswick, they may also help with some of the finances of that one. Loyalist College, also in Ontario, that it's doing a 8-month postgraduate cannabis applied science certificate program. So that's just a certificate program as well. So again, they're kind of dipping their feet into the water of that. The University of Ottawa, of course, Ottawa is the capital of Canada, so it's good that they're doing something in the in the cannabis industry. They announced in the spring this year that they're going to do a cannabis law program starting next year. So if you are a lawyer out there, and certainly that would be a huge new industry for you, is a cannabis law. And so that's going to start up probably in 2019. It sounds like they're getting ready. But I think they're going to do kind of short courses as well. So keep an eye on that one if you're a lawyer out there and or interested in the law of the cannabis law. St. Francis Xavier University. St. Francis Xavier, that's in Nova Scotia. That's the east side of Canada. They're looking at, they've got a, it's kind of a complicated program, but it sounds quite interesting that they're working on kind of a co-op program. I know it sounds weird, but it's a co-op program where you can like work and work with the different cannabis growers and production facilities. So still new, still not quite yet available, but that sounds really good. I think they've got some good ideas going on there, and they announced it last year, but I haven't heard too much recently about what's happening with that. So, but that's an interesting program. Ryerson University is doing a continuing education, so it's not a credit, there's no degree. It's called the Business of Cannabis. So if you are in Canada, but perhaps in Toronto, studying English or thinking about going to college, you can actually take this course, Business of Cannabis, through its continuing education program. So that would be a very good way to kind of learn a little bit about the industry, see if you're interested in participating in it and what the business is going to be like. The College of the Rockies in British Columbia is offering a 26-week course called the Cannabis Retail Specialist Program. Yeah, and pretty timely, you know. It's not available for international students, though, so you've already got to be in here in Canada. So, but it's, you know, to sell the marijuana. That's a good one. And Olds College in Calgary, Alberta, has a cannabis production program, and it's online for about 8 weeks. And then what they do, which is quite good, they do a 2-week co-op placement, so you get to actually go into the production facilities to learn how to grow and work in the industry. So that is also a great one. So these are some of the programs that are coming out in colleges and universities for growing and producing and selling, marketing, and of course the law of the cannabis industry in Canada. So if you want a new career change and you want to move to Canada, the cannabis industry, 150,000 new jobs being created through this new industry.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
Now there is an article out in the Daily Mail that states parents should not give their children mobile phones before secondary school, according to Dr. John Golden, the vice chairman of the Royal College of Psychologists. And I want to talk a little bit about this because I actually do agree with the doctor in some respects, and in some respects I also disagree. But I think there needs to be a discussion of when to give children their own mobile phones. Now, full disclosure to teachers and educators out there, of course, I have created the Study It ESL textbooks that are available on the iPad and on the mobile phone. And I do have a kids book and I do have a teen book. So I do have some books that are available out there for digital use. Now, I am a strong believer that we should be switching to the digital format sooner rather than later. And of course, if you're a regular listener to the James Rice Show, you'll know some of my opinions and some of the things that I disagree with about what's going on in the schools. Now, what this article is about is discussing that parents should not be purchasing and giving a cell phone to a child who is basically under 11 years old, and that actually they should be restricted to 2 hours a day on social media for those kids under 11. Now, of course, what the doctor is saying, the kids are becoming depressed, anxious, they're vulnerable to cyberbullying, and actually, I think Facebook doesn't allow students to join until they're 13, and I'm in full agreement with that. I do not believe the kids should have their own social media accounts before 10 or 11. There is no point. If they're going to, that should be, the account should be handled by parents. You know, you should have the account. Now, what I did as a parent was I allowed my children to start up their own Facebook accounts when they were, it was probably about 12. They were asking about it, 11, 12. I did allow them to start up their own Facebook accounts, but I was the monitor of that account. So they could not post anything without me knowing about it. It was not a private account. It was an account that we shared together. So they got into the idea of posting on Facebook, and then I was kind of their censor before they posted things on Facebook. So, you know, we would discuss what they were posting and do you really want to share that? And you have to understand that this is going to be on the internet possibly forever, you know, and that kind of hit home with them. And so it helped to educate them on how to be responsible when they're posting. Now, according to this article, more than 40% of parents believe that people under 16 should be banned from owning the device. Now, owning and using, okay, a little bit different. You know, you need to understand that. But I think there needs to be greater school input on how to be a good digital citizen. All right. There are some amazing schools out there that are doing some amazing things with smartphones and iPads and things like that. And they're teaching their kids not to use it for social media, not to use it for gaming, not to use it for texting, but for actually productivity uses. All right. And we've listened to some students who are in grade 3. And they're working on some amazing projects using the iPad. So, teachers, if you're bringing in digital activities at a young age, I encourage it. All right. Now, parents, I discourage you from purchasing the phones and smartphones before when they're that young, 12, 13, 14 years old. I do discourage that. But that means the schools need to step in and purchase those devices so that we can educate our children on how to use them, you know, in a productive way, all right? So that when they do purchase their cell phones, maybe at 14, 15, 16 years old, that they know how to productively use that device. So I hope I'm not sounding too contradictory there. I believe schools need to institute the policy of using digital devices in the classroom from an early age. And those need to be monitored. And of course, tempered into certain time frames. Not the whole class needs to be like this, but you know, perhaps there's a 30-minute activity that you're doing on the iPad, or you're doing something digitally with the device. Introducing it slowly through the grades as they rise up, but it has to be based on productivity. Okay, so that is critical, and that will begin to create better, smarter digital citizens. And I believe that it has to be introduced as young children, so that they're not using it for social media. There's too much use of texting, social media, and gaming, and not enough use of the incredible productivity apps that are out there for students to use. And the educational uses for the iPads and the phones, it's unbelievable what we're going to be able to do with it. But we're not, you know, as a school and as teachers, we're not kind of introducing that technology to them gradually. And oftentimes, where you may have one teacher who does a lot of work with the digital devices and other teachers who do none. And it needs to be instituted in each class in a small way and gradually through the years. However, I do agree that parents, you know, you should think about not purchasing the cell phones for the kids before high school. I do agree with this. I have seen kids that have owned their own phones when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, and they are a problem sometimes. They are not using it correctly, and they're not kind of getting out into the world and being active. So I believe schools should be teaching through these devices. But I do not agree that parents should be buying them a cell phone, an iPhone 8, and giving it to them when the child's, you know, 9 years old. I you know, you may want to temper that a bit, and you may want to introduce it and give it to them, tell them that they can use your phone or your iPad when you're around, okay, so that you can monitor their usage and teach them how to be productive digital citizens. So it's an interesting article. We'll post it on the James Rice Show for you guys to check out and discuss it a little bit further. But those are my thoughts, and it is an interesting article.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
So some of the reaction from last week's episode, which we talked about the 14,000 students being transferred out of Saudi Arabia. Facebook banned us again. Yeah, last week's episode was banned again for being, I guess, too political. It took them a little while, though. It did take them a day or two before they banned us. So, yeah, that's weird, eh? It's like, you know, you talk about something, you know, a little controversial. People complain, or people ban you, or they report you to Facebook as being inappropriate. You know, we try not to be inappropriate here. We try to be fair. We have a certain point of view on life as well as how to teach English. Paul from China, he wrote on social media that I was a skunk. I don't know what that means, Paul from China. Perhaps I smell bad. But that's an idiom, maybe from China. I don't know. Guys, tell me what that means. You know, if you don't like the show, it's okay. You don't listen to it. You know, I don't think we're doing anything too controversial here. We're not Alex Jones and making up conspiracy theories. We try to stay away from politics, but sometimes politics right now is part of this international student debate. So that is popping up, then obviously Trump and some of that's happening. But I mean, 14,000 students were just transferred out of Canada from Saudi Arabia. I mean, what an impact on schools and universities here in Canada. So it is a problem. So, you know, come on, guys. I'm happy that Paul, you know, at least you put your name and your job and your, you know, we could see who you are from your Facebook profile when you called us a skunk. So, I mean, at least that's fair. At least that's fair. At least he's not hiding behind a fake name. You know, I do have a certain point of view on how we should teach English, and I have a certain point of view on how students should be learning English. And I've certainly had my debates with people like Jeremy Harmer, who wrote the textbook How to Teach English. And while it was great in the 90s, I think there are opportunities as well to improve that textbook. And I would like to see that being done in the future with some of the new methodologies, such as how to do flipped classrooms, mobile learning, project-based learning. I'd like to see that as well being brought into the series if Jeremy wants to update that. Okay. Anyways, guys, we're actually running a bit out of time on the show. Stephanie's giving me the signal. Wrap it up, James. So thank you, guys. And thank you for helping us to reach the 10,000 listener mark. It is much, much appreciated. Don't forget to visit www.thejamesriceshow or facebook.com/jamesriceshow. You can contact me through the Facebook page. You can just, there's a contact us button right there. So if you're not liking what you're hearing or you want to fight me on some point, send me a message. I'm happy to talk about it here on the podcast. All right. So have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.